Hey everyone, welcome to God's Plan, Your Part, Year 2, where this year we're reading through and studying the entire New Testament, one chapter at a time. Thanks again for joining us in discovering God's plan and your part in it.
Today we are looking at John chapter 10. If you've been around church for a long time, this is the I am the good shepherd passage. Really, most of the passage has to do with Jesus being the real shepherd of his sheep. This is not a theme that Jesus picked up for the first time. This is a theme throughout the Old Testament, and it is exciting here to see the good shepherd arrive and proclaim himself to be that.
Jesus also comes into yet another situation where his life is on the line. People are ready to stone him, ready to arrest him. So he is like, there's no shortage of him being in really sticky situations. Unfortunately, for the people that are trying to arrest him, he's always speaking the truth about who he is. And that's what really gets him in trouble in this last part of the chapter today. But I think what's important also to remember is this is like a, I don't know, it's like the sequel to what we talked about yesterday.
Like,
these are the same group of people that were just as frustrated with him for healing the blind man. A lot of people are out for him. They are not pleased with what he's done. Which is also silly, but same types of people who are very frustrated with him. And now he's speaking these things that are just like, oh, how dare you?
This is interesting, this whole shepherd imagery. And we can set this up from the top. But this is an idea that many of them would have been familiar with. And the Old Testament prophets are full of these corrections against wicked shepherds. Essentially, many of the Old Testament prophets would come against the leaders of Israel and say, hey, like, God asked you to care for his sheep, to care for his flock. And all you're doing is taking advantage of them. You're trying to steal their money. You're not healing the broken. You're not caring for the like less cared for. You're not doing what I told you to do. And over and over and over again, particularly right before Israel and Judah are judged, the prophets are saying like, hey, God is correcting the wicked shepherds. And if you don't turn from your sin, you're going to be judged. And they didn't turn from their sin. And they were judged. In 722, the northern kingdom was carried off into Assyria. In 5-something, I forget now, I think it's 586, the southern tribe was carried into Babylon. Like, they were judged and they were disciplined for not being good shepherds. So here Jesus is using that imagery to say, I am the good shepherd. I'm the only shepherd. I care for my sheep. They know me. If you don't know me, it's because you're not my sheep. Imagine hearing that. And essentially their response is like, I think you have a demon. That's what they say.
Well, and I think even along with that too, he's claiming to be like God or within like the same ranking of who God is. He's claiming to be part of God. He's claiming that God is part of him. So by saying that, he's taking something that's like so foundational again to who they think they are and what they believe, that it's like by him telling them that you don't belong to me or you're not my sheep, you don't know my voice, basically says you don't know who God is too. So that would be really, really foundationally shaking. Like, that wouldn't sit well just in general. But on top of that, they're just like so full of rage with him.
I think I'm going to pick this up in verse 10 because I think it's important to understand how this plays out, and definitely read it for yourself or listen to us read it. If you look at verse 10, it says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So point number one is that Jesus is the good shepherd. He cares for us. He looks out for us. He lays out a good path for us, just like a good shepherd would do. But I do want you to notice, he says that he came that we would have life, and not just have life, but that we would have it abundantly. If you are not following Jesus as the good shepherd, you are living a less good life. Is that right? A less good life? A less better life? Your life is not as good as it should be because you are meant to follow the good shepherd that is Christ. Then he goes even further and says, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. He's confronting these religious leaders. He's saying, listen, you're nothing but a hired hand. You don't care about my people. I care about my people. I'm the good shepherd. They know me. I know them. And if you take into consideration like the ancient context of like good shepherds, bad shepherds, the stories that they all would have understand from Jeremiah, from Isaiah, this is incredibly offensive to them. Mm-hmm. They live their whole lives as the religious leaders of the people. And Jesus is standing in front of them now being like, I am the shepherd that cares for these sheep. It's obvious that you people are nothing more than hired hands.
Well, and I think in verse 17 and 18, 17 specifically, it says, for this reason, the Father loves me because I lay my life down mm-hmm. that I may take it up again. So I don't know. I just think that is, it's all encompassing for this self-sacrificial shepherd that none of them truly are for those people.
Take that one verse further. It says, no one takes it from me, referring to his own life, but I lay it down on my accord. I have authority to lay it down and I have authority to take it up again. So he's saying, I am so committed to my sheep, I will allow myself to die, and then I will raise myself back up again. Mm-hmm. They obviously would not have understood exactly what he meant, but how incredible is it that Jesus is saying that about us? Like, I love my people so much that I will allow myself to die, and then I will raise myself again so that they are saved and they are cared for. Mm-hmm. One little thing I don't want you to miss before we move away from this story. If you look at verse 16, it says, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. This is Jesus referring specifically to non-Jewish people who will come to know Jesus and come to follow Jesus. There's not going to be this Jewish believer, non-Jewish believer nonsense. It's just believers. It's just people committed to Christ. There is one flock with one shepherd. This is a very significant proclamation from Jesus in that there's not going to be these Jewish, non-Jewish distinctions because we are all going to be following Christ as one body. That's a concept that's picked up later on by a lot of the New Testament writers to say, like, we are one body. We all have different functions, but we're all part of one body and Christ is our head.
So after we go through this whole section about this shepherd, Jesus again shows that he is God.
Yeah.
So he's starting to just kind of like be out with it. Like, I and the Father are one. That's like the whole premise of this next section. And I think what's really unsettling to those who are hearing it is that they are asking him first and foremost in verse, let's see, 24. They're like, how long will you keep us in suspense? Mm-hmm. If you're the Christ, just tell us. And Jesus is like, listen, like, if you actually believed in God and you knew what God wants for his people, you would see that through the things that I'm doing, through the things that I say, you would understand that I am he. And they don't accept this. And so it's interesting to me, too, that they're like, I don't know. It seems like they separate even God and the Messiah. So like the Messiah is just supposed to be this person who was sent, who doesn't totally, I don't know, doesn't necessarily have same like equality to mm-hmm. God. And it's just like they're here to do the job to make us better. Mm-hmm. And God is like high and lofty, can't be touched by anyone else. So it's also like, I think there's a little bit of like conflict in their thought of Jesus being equal to God as well. Like that doesn't sit well with them either. Mm-hmm. So it's just, it's interesting. He keeps saying over and over again, or alludes to what it says in verse 30, I and the Father are one. And when that is said, they become so frustrated that they again try to stone him. And then even later into the chapter, they try to arrest him.
It's funny, since we've been tracking through John, I've been trying to highlight every time that Jesus actually does say he's God. I feel like I've been calling that out every single chapter now. Like mm-hmm. I would not have known that that was in here necessarily before we set out on this journey through John. But if you've been listening every day, you've probably been hearing me say this every single day. So if you look at verse 29, it says, my Father has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. The Jews picked up stones again to stone them. So again, Jesus is saying, I and the Father are one. He's saying, I am God. And you can see the audience understands what he's saying because they react by trying to stone him for blasphemy for saying that he is God. We had like a short little conversation about Trinitarian misunderstandings. Mm-hmm. So it seems like a good point just to call out that we believe in one God in three persons. And they've all existed eternally. They all work together since the beginning of time, well, really since before there even was time. But one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are all God. That's the one God in three persons. They have unique roles, I guess, and responsibilities, you could say. God is the creator and sustainer of all things. Jesus is the Son who has accomplished forgiveness for our sin. The Holy Spirit indwells in us, is in us when we are believers, and is our comforter and our counselor, helps us understand scripture, helps us have like special promptings from the Lord. They're all God, one God, three persons. We don't worship three different gods. We worship one God. And like we have our own personal experience with different people who have like wrestled with this concept, because like admittedly, it's not a simple concept. But you can see here that Jesus is saying, I am the Son, I am God. And so I understand that people are like, wait, what is going on here?
So they hear Jesus say that he and the Father are one, which again, that just like strikes up tons of fury. And so Jesus does ask them, well, if you're going to stone me, like what good work are you going to stone me for? And they tell him, it's not because of your good works. We're stoning you for blasphemy. And so, because they're saying in verse 33, because you being a man, make yourself God. What's so funny is that he is God that has been like made into man. Like he is in human form as well. So it's just like they can't even comprehend it. And so I think this is where we kind of like got into this weird verse, verse 34, which you wanted to talk about a little bit. I don't think I have a whole lot to say about it, but I would be interested to hear your take.
It got my attention because when I read it, I was like, wait a minute, what is going on there? So if you look at, well, I'll start in 33. The Jews answered him, it is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you being a man, make yourself God. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said you are gods. That's little g gods. If he called them gods, little g gods, to whom the word of God came and scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? So it appears that Jesus is referring to a scripture that says there's more than one God, right? Like at least reading over it on face value, that's what I saw. So Jesus is quoting Psalm 82, and Psalm 82 is essentially like instructions for human rulers. Like it's basically like God setting an expectation for people who are ruling on God's behalf, like kings or judges or Christian leaders. And Psalm 82 says, this is verse 1, God has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. And then the passage continues. Psalm 82 is not very long. You can read it for yourself.
Verse 6 is important to call out too, because it's exactly what he's saying. He said, I said you are God, sons of the Most High, all of you. Right. Nevertheless, like men, you shall die and fall like any prince.
All right. So we read almost the whole thing. You can read over it for yourself.
That's specifically verse 6 is where he's like specifically quoting.
So don't twist this up. He's basically saying, like, we can understand God. He's not saying we are gods. He's saying we have this opportunity to live out the way that God has called us to live out. That's why it's important that he says, you shall all die, because we're men and we die. God does not die. So Psalm 82 is pointing out this opportunity that we have to, like, hear God's word and follow God's word and represent God to people who do not understand who God is. So Jesus here is saying like, hey, I'm representing God, just like Psalm 82 says that I should do. How can you call me a blasphemer? And he's like using a psalm that would have been familiar to them to say like, I'm more than just that. I'm the Son of God. He and I are one. So I think it's important to unpack that, because if you don't dig deeper into this, it's like, wait a minute, what's going on here?
It is kind of awkward, too, to read that word and be like, hold on.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Like super, super not right. So I think overall, they become very infuriated with Jesus. And again, they try to arrest him, but he makes his way out of their grasp and just, I'm assuming, just probably leaves a really angry mob of Jewish people.
But many people follow him and end up believing in him. If you look again, and I feel like I'm saying this every chapter in John, if you look at verse 42, and many believed in him there, because they're talking about the fact that John the Baptist had said that Jesus would come and do incredible signs. And they're like, wow, like you're doing everything John said that you were going to do. We believe that you are the Christ, just like John told us.
So after this whole back and forth, overall, Jesus was able again to bring others to himself. And I think that's really telling even about him and his own ministry. Like, he wasn't going to give up simply because people were just like, I don't know, barging down his door every 5 seconds. So from this chapter, what would you say is probably the best your part for today?
I think the best thing is to remember that Jesus is the good shepherd. Like, this is a big deal for us today. Like, he loves us. He cares for us. He laid down his life for us on his own accord because he wants us to have life and have it abundantly. Mm-hmm. If you are not following Jesus, or even if you're like halfway following Jesus, or even 80% of the way following Jesus, you are not going to have life abundantly. Because Jesus has already planned out for us this incredible life that we're meant to have, that is a fullness and a richness that comes with following him. So I just invite you to like throw off anything that is keeping you from following Jesus. Even if it's like your hesitations or your questions or concerns, throw all of that off and follow him 100%, because he is a good shepherd who loves us. He's the best leader that could ever lead. And when you follow him, it will be the best life that you can possibly live. It may not look the way that you thought it should look, but you will find fullness and richness in following him. So in some ways, it's just a reminder of what is available to us as Christian believers. I invite you to take that seriously today and to follow Jesus in whatever decisions you have and whatever you're going to do. We'll be back again tomorrow with John chapter 11. We'll see you then.
Thanks for joining today's episode of God's Plan, Your Part. As always, please consider partnering with us, as we are a listener-supported podcast that we hope to continue to grow with support from listeners just like you.
We've made it super easy to partner with us, and you can support us by following the link in our show notes or our description. You can support us with as little as $3 a month.
Every little bit of this helps so much, and we're so thankful for your support. With that in mind, here's today's reading.
John chapter 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not the shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he has a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold, I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life and I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon, and he is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among the sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me? The Jews answered him, It is not a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus answered them, It is not written in your law, I said, you are gods. If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, you are blaspheming, because I said I am the Son of God? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Again they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. He went away again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing at first, and there he remained. And many came to him, and they said, John did no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true, and many believed in him there. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of God's Plan, Your Part. Don't forget, you can find us on just about every social media platform and YouTube. Let us know what you thought of today's episode, and if you have any questions, go ahead and post them there. You can also reach out to us directly at godsplanyourpart@gmail.com. As always, if you don't have a Bible, or if you'd like to use the one that we use, reach out to us via email and we'll be happy to send one to you. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you again tomorrow.